I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. Egypt's generals have a curious view of democracy. They're insisting that a military-appointed panel should write the country's new constitution, not newly elected parliamentarians. Today, that prompted a boycott announcement by the Muslim Brotherhood. They dominated the elections last week and want parliament to write the new charter. Matt Bradley is a correspondent for the Wall Street Journal in Cairo. He was one of just a handful of Western journalists called by Egypt's military yesterday for a rare briefing.
The big revelation was the extent to which the military hopes to continue its sort of stage management of the constitutional drafting process. Now, while that ambition isn't necessarily new, because the military has made overtures in the past to try to sort of control the way the Constitution will be drafted, this latest statement just showed that the military still hoped, even after 3 weeks ago, there were riots in downtown Cairo over the continuation of military rule, with rioters going on and demanding that the military yield power to civilians. The military still hopes to control this constitutional drafting process. And so part of that is probably due to the overwhelming gains that were made by Islamists in the parliamentary elections. These Islamists aren't necessarily united into a coalition. So to lump them together is somewhat misleading. But at the same time, we're still talking about a very conservative incoming parliament.
Where does this sort of muscle flexing on the part of the Egyptian military leave Washington now?
Well, the thing is, we have to remember, none of this is new in terms of Washington's relationship with the military. The United States has given the Egyptian military, not the Egyptian government, but the Egyptian military, $1.3 billion a year ever since 1979, ever since Anwar Sadat made peace with Israel. So the United States has always been in a position where they've tacitly blessed the Mubarak regime, the military that supported it, and the human rights abuses that it committed. So now the United States is in a particularly tricky position, and not just since this meeting with foreign journalists, but ever since the revolution, where they have to decide if this military regime that they're continuing to pay, that they're continuing to support, should come under more stringent rules than the Mubarak regime came under. Because remember, the Mubarak regime never had democracy. The Mubarak regime flouted American-blessed principles of human rights very openly, but still enjoyed the support of the United States. So if the United States were to suddenly threaten to withdraw the funding to the military, they could very easily and very rightfully be accused of being two-faced because they spent 30 years and more than 30 years supporting successive Egyptian regimes who had worse human rights records than the military that currently rules Egypt.
Right. So this General Mukhtar al-Mulla of the ruling council was the man at the podium speaking with you and the other Western journalists yesterday. Who is he and what sort of clout does he have?
I mean, he's one of the about two dozen generals who sit on the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, which means that he serves under the acting president of Egypt. And that man is Field Marshal Hussein Tantawi. And he's very influential. So, we don't know exactly what's going on inside this council. We have no access and we have no information. And there's absolutely no leaks as to the machinations that are going on between and among the generals, whose influence is prevailing over who else's influence. So it's all very mysterious. But we do know that he's quite senior.
And when you left his company, did you have a sense that the military at some point in the future, they will be willing to relinquish power?
I think that I've always had that sense. And I think that a lot of members of the foreign press here and a lot of even the most pessimistic people with regard to the military believe that they are eventually going to be willing to give up power. If for no other reason than that the military is struggling under the burden of this transition period. The Egyptian public is no longer the same public that it was before the revolution. They're much, much more confident. They're much more willing to go against authority and assert themselves ever since they've had this successful, wildly successful revolution in January and February that overthrew an autocrat who had ruled Egypt for 30 years. So it's a different polity entirely. And the economic problems are very, very severe. Egypt is facing an almost imminent crisis when it comes to its foreign currency reserves, which are depleting significantly and have depleted by about 40% since the revolution, to the extent that it's not quite clear how much longer the Egyptian government is going to be able to prop up the Egyptian pound and keep away wild inflation that could really create a social problem here. If the pound is allowed to decrease, then things could go way out of control. If inflation then sent people into the streets and caused more rioting.
Matt Bradley, The Wall Street Journal's correspondent in Cairo. Thank you so much.
Thank you.